Well, if you'd like to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 18, and have a Bible reading there. If you're wondering where my wife is, she discovered she has temperatures this afternoon, so she's not well. Luke chapter 18, I'll read from verse 1 and I'll go down to verse 14. Starting from verse 1, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge that feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And goes on to say, "And he spake another parable unto them, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." And this is the parable he spoke to them, and this is what we're going to be considering this evening. "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down..." Sorry, a little squeak there. "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And we'll ask God's blessing to be upon us this evening. Father, we want to thank you that we can come and consider your word this evening. And Lord, despite it being hot, I pray that, Lord, for this short time we can put aside those feelings, and Lord, allow your word and the Spirit of God that takes and uses your word to minister to our hearts this evening. And we ask for your work to be done in us. For Father, we need a work done regularly and daily, we pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder how often you have come to church, week in, week out, and have done what you're meant to do as a good Christian. You know, you've come and sang praises to the Lord. You've given a tithe. You've listened to his word. You may have served the Lord in some way in the local church as well when you're there. And you feel like you've pleased the Lord, and you go home thinking that he's happy with you and feeling good with yourself, yet not realize that the Lord isn't happy with you at all. You may have thought he was, but you didn't realize that he saw the attitude that you had while coming to church and the reasons why you came to church. And the Lord actually found your attitude and your reasons offensive to him rather than pleasing to him. I wonder if that's ever happened. Well, tonight I want us to look at this parable, this second parable that the Lord Jesus spoke, where the Lord shows us that he is just as concerned for the reasons and the attitude that we have when we come to church as he is to the very fact that we come to church. And so that's what we're going to consider this evening. It says there in verse 9, we have the parable introduced to us, and it says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." And so Jesus was with a group of people, and as usual, he could see their heart, and what he saw, he didn't like. And so he took the opportunity to rebuke them for the wrong attitude or the wrong heart that they had, and show them what God really was expecting of them. And he points out two things that they were doing that was wrong. He first of all points out how they trusted in their own efforts for their righteousness, And secondly, how they despised others and thought that they were better than them. And so this was what was on the Lord Jesus' mind when he spoke this parable. He saw people who exalted themselves and despised others in the process. And this is what Jesus first of all had to say. In verse 10 we read, two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a publican, or we would know them as a tax collector. And so Jesus is looking at two people that went to the temple to pray. Both went to worship God at the temple. A very good place to be found, I would add. You know, it's not like the Pharisee was off to the temple and the tax collector was off to some drunken banquet somewhere. They were both going to the temple to pray. And I guess for us, we could align what they did in going to the temple to pray with us, with ourselves in going to church to worship the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, the Jew went to the temple to worship the Lord. And when they were there, there was the reading of the word. They heard the word of God. They prayed. They gave a tithe. They served the Lord in various ways. And they worshiped the Lord there. Now, in the New Testament, believers go to the assembly of believers, which we call the church. And there we do a very similar thing. We go and worship the Lord. We hear the reading of the scriptures. We sing praises to him. We might give a tithe. We might serve him in some way as well. And so we see that in the Old Testament, God's people went to the temple to worship him. In the New Testament, God's people go to church, or the church, or the assembly to worship him. But the reality is, as good as it may be to have come here tonight, and I'm glad you did, but as good as it was to come here tonight, was that enough? Or is that enough? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Just because we come here and we have sung some praises to the Lord, and maybe you did give a tithe, and you're hearing God's word, and maybe you've served the Lord in some way, is that really enough? You know, is that all that God is looking for? Does he say, yep, okay, they went to church, I'm happy with that, tick, and I'm happy with them now? Is that all that matters? Well, what we discover here from this parable is, even though the Pharisee and the tax collector were both at the house of God, the Lord was not happy with both of them. If you met the Pharisee along the road that day and you said, hey, where are you going? He could have said, well, I'm off to the temple to pray. And you could have thought, ooh, you know, he's a very holy man. He's going to the temple to pray. Ooh. And you could have been very impressed with that. But is that enough in God's sight? Just to go to the temple to pray. You know, some might have met the tax collector on the way to the temple and said, hey, where are you off to? He says, I'm going to go to the temple to pray. And some might have thought, well, that might help him a bit. You know, he's been ripping everybody up off, but at least he's going to the temple to pray. Maybe that'll sort of justify him a little bit. But is going to the temple to pray really enough? Well, the Lord makes it very clear to us that just being in the temple to pray doesn't make you righteous in God's sight. Going to some place to worship him or to pray doesn't make you righteous in his sight. Just being in a good place isn't enough. And brethren, what we need to know is coming to church and being here isn't enough. All right? The Lord expects far more from us than just dragging our body to a place and sitting there and going through some ritual of worshipping him. And we see this made very clear to us with what Jesus says about this Pharisee particularly, and how he went to the temple to pray. And we see from the parable that the Lord wasn't happy with the Pharisee for a couple of reasons. We know that the parable was given to people who were trusting in themselves and despising others, but we see here this sinful attitude in action. Jesus describes this type of attitude in action. And it shows us how someone who is trusting in themselves and how someone who despises others actually acts in everyday life. And what we need to do is to have a close look at what the Lord says and see if we see ourselves here. That's the important thing. Not worry about the Pharisees, so to speak, but to see if we find ourselves here. And if so, know that God wants us to change in some way. Now, the first thing we see here is that the Lord wasn't happy with the Pharisees' attitude towards others who were there at the temple. That's the first thing. First part of verse 11, we read this. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. That's a very interesting little phrase or statement there. He prayed thus with himself. Now, I think that describes so well what this Pharisee was doing, even though it may not quite mean what we think it is meaning. You know, when I read that phrase, he prayed thus with himself, it sounds like it's meaning that he was just in his only little holy huddle praying to himself. No one could hear him. God wasn't listening to him. He wasn't even praying to God. He was just praying to himself. And that's all it achieved. Just there by himself, praying to himself. But that's not really what it means. In the Greek, this is how it is phrased. The Pharisee standing with himself thus was praying. The Pharisee standing with himself or by himself thus was praying this prayer. And what its meaning here is, this Pharisee wanted to stand all by himself. He didn't want to be associated with this tax collector that had just come into the temple. He didn't want to really be associated with anybody else that he considered lower than himself. He wanted to stand by himself where everybody could see him. Now, we know from the next verses that the reason why he did this was because he thought he was better than everybody else. And so he didn't want to pray next to others who he considered to be some terrible sinner. And so we start to see the pride of this man already. He comes to the temple, sees this tax collector and thinks, well, I'm not going to pray next to you. I'll pray over here by myself, thank you. I don't want anyone to think that we're together. And so he thought he was on a higher class than others. And so the Pharisee was exalting himself in just this simple manner, looking down on others in the temple. Now, imagine if on prayer meeting time when we break up into our little groups, I said, you know, you guys go there and go there and go there, but I'm praying by myself. You know, I don't think I want to associate with any of you guys, you know. You know, that would be ridiculous. But that's what this is what the Lord Jesus is saying. This is the type of actions that someone, I'm sure this actually took place in the temple. I don't think he was making it up, so to speak, either. All right, he saw this sort of thing happen. This was their attitude. And so what was the attitude towards those who were at the temple? He despised them. He knew the life that they had lived. He may have known the actions that they had performed, maybe even that week, we don't know. But he looked down on them and he considered himself to be of a better class than them. Now, we all know that's wrong, don't we? I don't think I need to convince you that that's wrong. But the question should be asked, could that actually happen in churches? We know it happened in the temple. But could that actually happen in churches today? Could a Christian go to church, but then avoid being next to someone? Avoid being seen talking to someone because they think they are a terrible sinner and they're not? You know, could people go to church, but consider themselves a higher class of person or a higher class of Christian than somebody else? Could that actually happen? I think you know the answer. I think sometimes we only have to look at our own attitudes when we go to church. You know, it happens at times where you think, okay, I'll be in the same church as that person, but don't expect me to talk to them, don't expect me to pray with them, don't expect me to be associated with them. Sadly, it does happen in churches, and it can even happen in our church because we are made of the same stuff as everybody else out there as well, where we put ourselves on a higher level than other people, like this Pharisee did. And brethren, the Lord said that it was wrong. But you know, it doesn't end there because the Pharisee then goes on to make this lovely prayer. He says there, first of all, verse 10 or verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I'm so glad I'm not like this dirty tax collector over here, Lord. That makes me so good. I feel so good. And so now we can see the pride out of this man. He not only wanted to distance himself from those that he considered to be more sinful than him, but he was happy to condemn them as well. And so this man's attitude when he was in the house of God was totally wrong. He said, "Lord, I'm so thankful that I'm not like the extortioners. I know that I don't rip people off and steal their land. I'm so thankful that I'm not like the unjust. I am a good person and I'm kind to others. I'm thankful I'm not like the adulterers and I have a moral life. And I am so thankful I'm not like this cheating publican." I'm not pointing to you actually, but over there, right? "I'm so thankful I'm not like him." Now, how proud would you have to be to say that? How proud would you have to be to think it? You know, if I opened in prayer and said, "Lord, I'm so glad I'm not as bad as everyone else here. I'm so thankful that I don't need this message, but I do know everybody else does." I couldn't see myself saying that. But could you think it? You know, what did the Pharisee... what was on the Pharisee's mind? His focus wasn't his own sin. It wasn't to glorify the Lord. No, it was on others and their sin. I'm interested to see how, you know, the Lord is obviously saying the parable, but he doesn't say, "I'm so thankful I'm not like those proud, self-justifying Pharisees over there also." You know, he didn't say that as a prayer. He could see the sin of some and he despised it, but he couldn't see his own sin when he was there at that place. And brethren, I have discovered over the years, not many people are bold enough to pray a prayer like this Pharisee. But I certainly have come across many people that are certainly bold enough to, or proud enough to have that attitude that this Pharisee had when he was there at the temple. And if we come to church and we think, "I am so glad I'm not as bad as that person. I'm so glad that I have at least pleased the Lord more than them." Or we come with the attitude, "There is no way that you're going to find me associating or talking or praying with that person." If we come with that type of attitude, well then we have come to church with the wrong attitude. If we come with the attitude that we are bitter towards someone or resentful towards someone, we refuse to talk to someone, we have these sort of attitudes towards others in the local church, well then we may not pray like the Pharisee, but we certainly have the same attitude. And the reality is, if we come to church with this type of attitude, then just being here doesn't really do much. It doesn't give us an automatic tick from the Lord that He's happy with us if we've dragged ourselves to church, yet we have this attitude towards others. Now, the Lord sees it as us despising others. That's what He sees. And as we see here, it's wrong. You see, this Pharisee was in the temple. Now, that's good. But he was there with the wrong attitude. And that was bad. And that's what the Lord saw. Question is, how about you? You know, how often have you come to church because you know that's what you should be doing, but you're here with the wrong attitude? Here with the wrong attitude towards someone in front of you or behind you or on the other side. But you still think God must be pleased with you. Well, we see here that was wrong. But sadly for this Pharisee, it didn't end there. Because we see that the Lord was not only unhappy with his attitude towards other people, but the Lord was also unhappy for the reason why this Pharisee went to the temple. You see, we're told that he went to pray. Now that sounds very good. You know, if I told my neighbour that I'm off the church because I'm going to pray, he would think, "Ooh, what a very holy man." And I'm sure there are some people that know you that think that you're a very godly person because they know you go to church. But our reasons for going to church can often be just as vain and proud as this Pharisee's reason as well. As we discover, he did go to the temple to pray, but when you hear the prayer, we discover the real reason why he went. You know, it says there, we know that he had just said, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners and unjust and adulterers, or even as this publican. And then he goes on in verse 12 and says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now it ends there, but I dare say many of the Pharisees' prayers didn't end there. They still had plenty of more to boast about. But we see here that the Pharisee didn't go to pray to God for mercy for his sin. He didn't go to pray to God to worship his wondrous name, but he went to the temple to praise himself. He wanted to just let the Lord know that he was a very good bloke. That he was a good man. He obeyed all the rules of the Pharisees. You know, he fasted on Monday and Thursday. He gave tithe of all that he has. And he lived a very clean life, unlike a lot of other people there in the temple as well. And so he just wanted to remind God of all this. And that's the reason why he went to the temple. He wanted to trust in his own righteousness. He wanted to boast and justify himself. He wanted to puff himself up. There were selfish reasons for going. See why it says in Ephesians 2, for by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is his gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Would a man boast of his salvation if it was through works? My word, he would. That's what our heart is like. And this Pharisee was trusting in the things that he had done and was doing for his righteousness. And he thought he was very righteous, in fact, more righteous than most. And because of that, he was exalting himself that day. That was the reason he went to the temple. That's another important lesson we should take from the parable. Just coming to church isn't enough. Just having the right attitude towards others when we're here is not enough. But also, we need to come for the right reasons as well. The Pharisee went to the temple to boast and to justify. And I trust that we don't usually come to church to boast and to justify ourselves. I'm sure that there are times that we and some people do that, but we may not do that. But the reasons why we come to church can be just as vain as this Pharisee's. Why did you come tonight? If you just came to please me, or to catch up with friends, or because you feel obligated, but you've come with a bad attitude, or you thought you'd come just to make yourself a little bit more holy than those that couldn't even be bothered coming, all right? Well, it's for the wrong reason. Don't think it's pleasing to the Lord. If you've come tonight, but you're sitting there thinking, I can't wait to get through this. This is so boring. You know? Oh, when is it going to end? Mate, I can't wait. What am I going to eat for dinner tonight? Oh, boy, I'm so hungry. I might go down to da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's what you're really thinking about. You've got no interest in the Word of God. If you're coming here to think about anything else, well, then you probably would be just as better off staying at home if that was the case. That's the right way to phrase it. Just dragging our body to church or dragging our body to prayer meeting and sitting there doesn't actually mean too much. The reason does count. But this Pharisee missed this. He was so full of his own goodness. He was so high on his own pedestal. And looking down on everybody else, that he missed this. And I do believe sometimes we can make the same mistake that he does, or did. We come to church, but it isn't for the right reasons. We are so self-justifying, we don't even see that our bad attitude or the wrong reasons for doing what we do are sinful. And we still think we're justified in the sight of God. We go home feeling as though God is happy with us. Yet the Lord Jesus shows us the attitude that he is looking for when we come to worship him. And we see that in verse 13. And he says this, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is a very different attitude. This man felt so ashamed of himself, he wouldn't even look up. This man, we told, in sorrow, smote himself upon the chest. That was a sign of sorrow in those days. He didn't say, well, Lord, I think there is a few worse than me here, and I thank you that I'm not like that. He didn't try and find someone to compare himself and then have a condemning spirit upon them. No, he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He understood that he was a sinner. He, regardless of how anyone else acted, he knew that he was a sinner, and he understood that he needed God's mercy for that sin. This was a humble man. This was a man who knew that compared to the righteousness of God, he fell very, very short. And he knew that he had no hope whatsoever in the sight of God unless God chose to show him mercy. That's all. And so he went to the temple to pray that day, but he didn't go to praise himself. He went to plead for mercy. And Jesus says this about this man. He says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And brethren, it was the prayer of this publican and the attitude that he had on that day is what the Lord is looking for in us. When we come here to worship the Lord, we need to come not in our own righteousness, not thinking that we deserve to be here, but we come to worship our God for the mercy and grace that He has shown us in the past, in the week, and what He will show us in the future as well. You know, I know that I can stand here in this pulpit today and be righteous in the sight of God. And you know, that's a wonderful blessing to know. But I know that I am not righteous in the sight of God because I've managed to sin less than you this week. All right? And I know that I can stand righteous in the sight of God this very moment. But I also know it's not because I've managed to not sin as bad as you through my life. Now, the only reason why I know I can stand here in the sight of God and be righteous in His sight is because I have received mercy from Him through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else. It's not because I've sinned less. It's not because my sins haven't been as bad or anything like that. It's because I have received that righteousness that comes through faith in Christ and the mercy He's shown. Nothing else. Some people seem to think that a pastor is up there because they are just so godly. Boy, I doubt they ever sin. Rubbish. Matt could tell you that now. All right. That's what I discovered when I became the assistant pastor. I'm just the same person. I'm just this sinner that does things wrong and I need God to forgive me and I get everything wrong. And now I've got pastor on the name. But that means nothing. You don't sort of get a bolt of something and changes you. The only thing that you can trust in is the righteousness of God, as He lays it upon you through mercy when you place your faith in Him. And I know that the day that I come into this building and I'm able to worship God thinking that I deserve to be here more than any of you is the day I've lost the plot. That's the day when I've started to trust in my own righteousness and not the righteousness that is found in Christ. And we must never come thinking, well, I deserve to be here, but that person shouldn't be. Well, they certainly don't deserve to worship the Lord. And you know, I know that I'll become like this Pharisee the day that I start to feel good about my achievements, rather than feeling shame for my sin. I'll probably know that I'm like this man also when I start looking down on you and thinking that I'm better than you. I'll know that I become like this Pharisee when I'm able to see the sins of everybody else, but I just don't see my own sins. Mate, I'm sinless. I don't make any mistakes. I'll know I've become like the Pharisee when I use this time to make myself look good in your sight, but I'm not interested in glorifying the Lord and making Him good and look good in your sight. Or as Jesus says, if I lift myself up instead of humbling myself. That's when I become like this Pharisee. And Jesus didn't like what he saw in the hearts of those people he spoke this parable to, and he doesn't like it in our hearts when he sees it as well. And so we need to see the importance of the lesson that we learn from this parable. The Lord wasn't just interested in the fact that they were in the temple, he was just as much, if not more, interested in their attitude while they were there and the reason why they were there. And that's the same for us. It's good that we're all here, but that doesn't mean that God is happy with all of us that are here. But I trust when the Lord looks at your attitude tonight, and he sees the reasons why you're here, he can say, as he said to this man went down to his house justified. Because our worship has been fitting for him and worthy of him. And brethren, that's what we need to be doing in our daily life and when we come to worship the Lord. We need to make sure it's not in vain. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, we may be able to fool others, but we certainly cannot fool you. And Lord, you know our heart, you know our mind, you know our attitudes, you know our motives. And Father, as we are confronted by that knowledge, Lord, I pray that we would be honest with you and ourselves and see if, Father, we have come like that tax collector tonight or like that Pharisee. And Lord, if there is pride within us, I pray that we would listen to your conviction and confess our sin and turn from it, we pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.